Today on Seculo, a shocking update. Biden is off the ballot in a major swing state. We'll talk about that, the eclipse, and more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Like schools across the country, we are taking the eclipse very seriously here at the ACLJ. So seriously, Logan, that, I mean, these glasses, I cannot see the screen in front of me. I can kind of look down and see some things. But, like, I don't know what you're seeing of me right now other than I'm wearing some paper glasses that literally are so dark I can't see what's in front of my hands. And
well, I think that's what they're worried about children. You know, they're like, this is a problem.
Well,
I
have things to look have up. Changed at my kids' schools at least three times in the last 24 hours.
All right,
I understand it. Let's take these off now.
I'm abandoning ship.
Okay, we're abandoning the
Happy
ship.
Eclipse
but
day.
Make sure that if you are in the line and you're going to look right up at the eclipse, that you do have these kind of glasses.
Yeah, I remember last time when President Trump just took them off. I was like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
So, Happy Eclipse Day to everybody. We are having some kind of breaking news, very interesting story
that's
coming out on Eclipse Day. You know, some of us think it's a supernatural sign. Some of us don't. We'll talk about that a little later on.
Gotta love this. President Biden, well, when they were scheduling their Democrat National Committee convention, which comes after, if you're the party that is in office, you do your convention after the party that's out of office. So the Republican Party goes first in July. The Democrat Party goes in August. They pick, though.
That is when they certify who is going to be the nominee.
They actually take the votes for all the different primaries you've had, and each state nominates the candidate. You actually become officially the candidate for president of the United States for the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. But they forgot to look at part of the election law in Ohio. And in Ohio, there is a deadline. See, the Democrat National Convention is scheduled not to even begin in Chicago until August 19th. But that occurs more than a week after the August 7th deadline to certify a presidential candidate to the office in Ohio. So they either have to move up their nominating convention, which Logan
is
moving
there may
these.
Be some
I've worked on these conventions, unless you could just move up this nominating part,
that
but that's a big part of the convention.
Conventions are planned years in advance for a reason. These are big. This is like the Super Bowl coming down.
Fight to have that job to go up to the microphone to say, you know, we're the state of blah. We are nominating Joe Biden to be president. I mean, those are usually the highest ranking political officials in their state or someone they really want to put forward as a future leader in their state. So that's a big job you get to nominate. And to take that away from the convention would be weird. Now, Ohio, it's interesting. The Senate is controlled by Republicans, technically 26 Republicans, 7 Democrats. The House, 67 Republicans, 32 Democrats, but some weird moves there have put some Democrats in control of things. So the question is, does the Ohio General Assembly do what you would hope maybe any state legislature would do, which is correct the issue? I mean, if this was being done to Donald Trump, you'd probably say, listen, fix the law. You knew their convention was going to be on the 17th, and
be cool,
you knew their
man.
Convention had to be later because it has to be after the Republican convention. So figure it out legally. But what we do know is that the Biden team and their convention team wasn't looking.
Yeah, they had their eye off the ball.
They have their eye off the ball completely. And Logan, I think that's part of the issue that Biden is going to face throughout this election. Is a lot of people with their eye off the ball because they were used to running a campaign from the basement and letting all these paper ballots that were out all
if
over the country.
If you're focused also on getting President Trump knocked off certain states because you don't
like
him.
Colorado.
That may be the reason why you don't end up on the state ballot of all 50 states because
maybe
you
instead
are
of trying
attention.
To fight us in court to take him off the ballot in Colorado, which we beat them 9-0 at the U.S. Supreme Court, they should have figured out when to do their convention so he could be on the ballot in Ohio without having to have this mess now. Support the work of the ACLJ because we don't miss those deadlines and we fight back. We win at the Supreme Court, in that case, 9-0. Donate today. Double your impact. ACLJ.org. And if you can become, again, a recurring donor, an ACLJ champion, do it today. ACLJ.org. back to Secchio. We are taking your phone calls through 1-800-684-3110. If you're in Ohio, I'd love to hear from you. If you have even heard about this story yet, that President Biden is facing challenges just getting on the Ohio general election ballot. This wasn't the primary. This is the general election ballot, and it's because their convention, which is where you officially nominate your candidate for president of the United States when you are the Democrat Party. The Republican Party goes first. They go in July, and that's how it works. The party who's out of power goes first. Party who's got the presidency goes second. They're going like mid-August, but that misses a key date, August 7th, which is a deadline to certify a presidential candidate to the office in Ohio. The DNC nominating convention, or the Ohio General Assembly, would either have to move up the nominating convention. I don't know how they would do that without messing up an entire national convention, but maybe that can be separated out from the national convention. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert in DNC politics and how they could put that forward. But or the Ohio Assembly must act by May 9th. I mean, that's pretty soon. 90 days prior to a new law's effective date to create an exception for this statutory requirement. Now, it is a Republican General Assembly. Is it one that is going to want to go to battle over this issue, Logan, when we've said that Democrats have been trying to take Trump off the ballot everywhere? I'm not sure.
Well, if you look at our comments, it's sort of that judging you what's the right thing to do versus what's appropriate. And there is a sense of, you know, Sharon on YouTube said the DNC messed up. It's their problem. Why should we help them?
Yep.
There's a lot of that thought going around, but you feel that way.
Make them fight it out.
But to me, it's no different.
Make them go to court. Make them go to the legislature. Make them go beg to change the rule. I don't think Republicans need to do that. Make the Democrat National Committee go and beg the Democrats and the Republicans in the state house in Ohio and their governor to change this rule.
Yeah, and Will, our executive producer, just said they have to write that exception and pass it in 1 month, when currently their General Assembly isn't in session right now.
It's really big.
Yeah, but I do think probably worth it.
You don't really want to go into a general election giving up Ohio completely, though. Going to be a tough state for him to win. There's a lot of other races in Ohio.
Let's talk about that. So Ohio has always been known as sort of one of the swing states.
It was.
Now President Trump kind of changed that, but that doesn't mean that it's not a swing state still.
No,
they still have Democrats in state.
Elected at the Senate level, the U.S. Senate level. So at statewide level, you've got Democrats. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, I think this election cycle with Donald Trump as the candidate, it is likely that he will win. But there will be plenty of Democrats who will also win other races going on, House races and local races too. So you would hope, you'd want your leader, Joe Biden, to be at the top of the ticket to encourage people to get out, not just to vote for him, maybe he can't win the state, but to vote for in their local races for Democrats where they can win. So it's not always based off, can I win the state? But it's, hey, maybe I don't win Ohio, but I can still become president and I can get, you know, two or three more congressmen in the House, or maybe a senator in the U.S. Senate who supports my work. That's a lot better than three Republicans and another Republican senator who doesn't. So you can see why it's an interesting play.
I think we need to restate, because a lot of people just joined us and people are saying, oh, this was this. People are confusing this and the Trump case together. I think there are people who are not that familiar going, this is old news. This is a replay. This is Eclipse Day for a lot of the country. This is April 8th. We are live, folks. And what was that, Will? Sorry. It's April 8th. And it's Rex Manning Day. There you go. It's Rex Manning Day for all those who celebrate as well. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. But a lot of people are saying, this is old news. You guys are spinning out, you know, fake news. Yep. He's not off the ballot. That, as of right this second,
he is.
Joe Biden cannot qualify to be on the ballot in the state of Ohio.
Right. We're not talking about the primary. We are talking about the general election ballot, because you have to have been nominated by August 7th is the deadline to certify a presidential candidate to the office in Ohio. That is 12 days before they're even scheduled to begin the Democrat National Convention, where you would nominate ultimately Joe Biden. It begins on August 19th. The nominating of Joe Biden wouldn't occur until later into that convention, a couple days, usually 2 or 3 days into the convention, which are usually 3.5 day events. So they're going to have to figure this out, because it's not a good story to start with on a Monday. It's a huge state to make a misstep like this on. You don't want, you can't give up in Ohio. I have a feeling they will work something out, but it is extremely embarrassing to the team running the Biden campaign, because you'd think they'd be all over at least getting on the ballot. They didn't even have a primary challenge. Literally, all they had to do was make sure they were following the rules of each state before they set their primary, before they set their convention date. Again, everything would have been fine. But, Logan, they didn't. Maybe they've been thrown off by this eclipse and the Mayans and who's coming back and whatever.
Who's coming back?
You know, is there a spaceship? Is it Jesus? We don't know who's coming back today, but it could be.
That's a lot to take in. That's a lot to take in. I thought we were going to save that for, you know, later in the show.
No, but, hey, I think throw it out now.
Yeah, no, there is.
Are the aliens coming today?
I mean, F only. We have a comment coming in, said the Ohio legislature did not change the law to keep Biden off the ballot. They're saying that's the big difference here from what they did to Trump. Are we going to give them a pass on following the law now?
Well, listen, it's not us that'll be giving them the pass, right? It would be probably the Ohio legislature saying, we don't want to make it look like we're afraid to go up against Joe Biden. That's how they'll pitch it.
Yeah.
They'll pitch it as, you were trying to disenfranchise voters because you're afraid Joe Biden's going to beat you in Ohio. And then you'll have to come back and say, no, we're not. Just let him be on the ballot. And I would love to punish them for their mistake here and not let him be on the ballot. But I think in 2024, you risk looking like a party who's trying to, taking away the ability for people to vote.
Yeah,
and cool. We didn't really like that in Colorado. When they tried to do that to President Trump.
Do something also. So it's like, we don't, we're not for this.
We had 14 states that we represented where they tried to take President Trump off the ballot. We wanted the Supreme Court 9-0 that you can't do that. Now, he didn't do anything. He filed everything correctly.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court is going to look at this and say, why didn't you follow your rules? Now, I think there is a way, probably under Democrat rules, when I'm reading through this, where they can have a nominating convention that's separate from their national convention. May take a little bit of the fun away of, you know, who does Maine nominate? Who does blah, blah, blah nominate? You know, that one night they show on TV for the full 4 hours,
yeah.
The big night where they give the candidate, then gives the big speech. But they may be able to do a real one and a fake one.
Yeah, I did also want to bring up, as before we had...
It's a major TV event, the conventions.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big
you
pomp and circumstance.
Have this done
entertainment.
Off camera.
Yeah, that would be the way or the workaround here, if that's what's needed. Hey, we only have a few minutes here on this segment. If you do see some comments coming in, a lot of people are asking about President Trump's stance on life and abortion, and we will get to that. We're going
to
break that down a little bit later towards the end of the broadcast. So stick around. In the back half hour, we're going to talk about... President Trump put out a video and a statement clarifying his feelings on life in general, protecting the life of the unborn. So we're going to discuss that in the back half of the broadcast. Today, though, we also have Jeff Balaban joining us from Israel in the next segment, as well as Rick Grinnell joining us a little bit later. And we are right now in the middle of our April Life and Liberty pitch, Life and Liberty Drive. It is a very important time. The challenge to our liberties are fierce right now, but because of your support, we can face them. Your gifts right now are doubled, which is amazing. That means there's other people, other ACLJ supporters, ready to match that at home to say, hey, if someone gives $20, we're going to make it $40. We're defending Israel. You're going to hear that next segment, as you're going to hear from Jeff Balaban live in Israel. Really important updates. You want to make sure you stay tuned for that. And we are obviously still involved in that Georgia election case. We are defending students and teachers who've been banned even from praying. So on the smallest scale to the biggest scale, we're there for you right now. Really, right now, our month is focused on that sort of liberty side of the Life and Liberty Drive. And if you're able, we're going to ask you not only to make an individual donation to the ACLJ, but to become a monthly ACLJ champion. You can opt in. It's very easy. We are so close to our goal of 21,000 ACLJ champions. I think we can do it in the next couple days. I think there's a chance we could do it today. We are under 83 right now. 83 champions. I'm hitting 21,000, which would be amazing. The monthly support of our ACLJ champions help us fight all of these great causes, helps us stay on the media forefront, be able to create this broadcast and all of the ancillary videos and content you see through the ACLJ and all of the amazing blogs and texts that you see on our website. None of that happens without the support of the ACLJ champions and ACLJ donors. So go to aclj.org right now to have your gifts doubled. But stay tuned, because coming up next, Jeff Balaban live in Israel with an update. He was just spending the day in sort of the regions that are being most affected. So it's going to be a very interesting update. And then again, we're going to talk about the life situation, President Trump's announcement on his stance on life and what that looks like. We're going to do that in the back half. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And support the work of the ACLJ right now. You can do it. It's very simple. Go to aclj.org. Do it right now. We'll be back in just about a minute. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Back to Secchio. We're going to Jeff Balaban, who oversees our office, ACLJ Jerusalem, and he is live in Jerusalem now. And Jeff, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things. Right off the bat, we see a report that Israel is pulling some troops from southern Gaza with a plan to clear Hamas from Rafah. Now, if you look at a map of Gaza, Rafah would still kind of be, I think, considered southeast or maybe southwest Gaza, so maybe the same area. So what exactly does that mean for an American audience who's kind of looking at a map and trying to figure out, okay, what does that mean exactly when they say they're pulling out of southern Gaza, but Rafah is kind of in what appears to be kind of close to southern Gaza, at least?
Right. Jordan, there's a lot of confusion going on right now, because what the American administration, what the Biden administration has demanded of Israel is simply a non-starter. No one's going to agree to it. And yet, Israel can't be seen diplomatically, politically, to straight up say no to Joe Biden. It's a big problem. But everyone understands that it's absolutely necessary to go into Rafah. Otherwise, Hamas wins. It's really binary. Israel doesn't go into Rafah, then Hamas leadership stronghold exists. And Biden basically is declaring that Hamas wins. They are able to come into Israel, murder, slaughter, rape a lot of Jews, pull out, and America is going to stop Israel. So there is a little bit of confusion in terms of what's being reported. It seems here that the belief is that no matter what, Israel is going to go in and clear out Rafah. And yet right now, this seems to be pulling back, whether that's strategic or tactical or diplomatic. Nobody really knows. The army knows. But the Israelis have to go in, and America has to get out of their way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has been part of, I think, the talking point throughout this, Jeff, is that the American government and the Biden administration appears not willing to let Israel carry out its mission and finish the task without this move towards, you know, whether it's abstaining at the UN, having speeches by Schumer, or even condemning some of Israel's actions, just because when you go to war, unfortunately, things aren't always perfect. And it's never great when you have to go to war. Innocent people do lose their lives. It's not pretty. It's not perfect. But again, we have to remind people this war exists because of what Hamas did with the resources they received from Iran on October 7th, and their refusal to this day to return about 100 hostages to Israel.
That's right, Jordan. There's a listen, what's really appalling is that no one's pretending that Joe Biden and his, you know, and Blinken's and all their proclamations lately and their finger wagging at Israel and the terrible things they're saying about Israel, no one's pretending they're true, and no one's pretending that that's what's motivating it. Everyone is saying it's because, you know, they've got some domestic political considerations, meaning essentially that they're throwing Israel, our ally, under the bus because they're worried about, college students in some universities and anti-Semites and pro-jihadis in Michigan, which is a terrible calculation for America to make. It's really turning its back, not just on its on America's allies, but on every possible standard of decency that America should have.
You know,
Yeah, so it's a common trend that seems to be happening. And we just had the 6 month anniversary of obviously the attack. And I got a text from one of my friends. I'm not going to name him, but he's a Hollywood celebrity. And he was making an appearance, you know, and had a great time. And he said, and I walk out of my hotel and there's a pro, what they consider a pro-Palestinian, but essentially a pro-Hamas protest happening right in the streets in front of his hotel. He's like, it's a very disheartening time to even find, you know, with the fact that we do this and do this on what is essentially now at this point an anniversary, 6 months in. The education of the American people and really what's happening over there, it's become it already was an issue before, but this has just amplified it, Jeff.
Yeah, and I actually want to add this because I spent the day in Samaria. So people know the Judean Samaria is basically the biblical heartland. It's been a Jewish presence there for thousands of years. And of course, the world calls it the West Bank being the West Bank of the Jordan, as though somehow it's attached to another country, not to the Jewish homeland. So what people need to understand is that we're hearing a tremendous amount of news and a huge focus on Gaza and what's going on in the South. But by far, what's concerning the Israeli public more, besides the issue still of Hamas's power and the hostages, is the North. And of course, the Arabs in the Judea and Samaria. There is the threats of violence. And I don't mean people saying things. I mean, we'll try to break through fences because, of course, the Jews in Judea and Samaria have to live in fenced in communities to protect themselves. The Arabs live completely freely. And so there's violence nonstop there since this has all begun. And especially the more they see America and the world supporting the terrorists, the more they feel emboldened. And then, of course, there's up north, which the situation is dire. I mean, there are attacks almost daily, and the situation up north, I mean, the Israelis can see the terrorists, the Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon. Of course, this is Iran-backed. They're very close, and it's a very much less infrastructure, and the attacks are happening all the time. And so Israel is at this point literally surrounded, the south, the north, and the east by hostiles. And the more America sides with them, the more dangerous it is simply for Israel to survive.
Yeah, and I know that there's political differences in Israel, and that's great. I mean, that's why they have a functioning democratic system where they elect their leaders, their parties, and you don't have to all have the same political positions. There's a lot of coalition governments there with very interesting groups of people together. But right now in Israel, is there still unity, Jeff? Because what we're being told in the U.S. is that the unity is starting to crumble and that Israelis are starting to question the strategy of the IDF. Is that an American liberal story, or is that true about what's going on inside Israel?
So that's a great question. Everything's in context, Jordan. The truth is that what's happening is that the governing coalition's enemies, and this is a unity coalition, but really Netanyahu's enemies, including the Biden administration, have been trying to undermine his coalition from the beginning. And there are those here who are trying to capitalize on it. But I will tell you, no question about it, north to south, east to west, in this tiny little country, the sense of unity is tremendous. I would say, yes, there's maybe a 10% of the population is making noise and is on the left and is being stirred up, including by people who are stirring them up from outside this country. But the more they do that, the more the other 85, 90, 95%, whatever, the vast majority feel unified and feel like this is all outside agitation. And they understand what's happening here. And it's being played for the media, and it's being played for because they know the media globally is going to pick it up and broadcast this and play this. They know it makes Israel look bad, but the people, the army, their family, the soldiers, because it's a civilian army, basically, is tremendously united, really, since October 6th. It's a unity like we've never seen here before, maybe since the 73 war, the 67 war. It's really extraordinary.
That's great. And Jeff, we appreciate your updates as director of ACLJ Jerusalem and joining us live from our office in Jerusalem this evening. To give us those updates about what's happening domestically in Israel and, of course, the interplay between the United States and Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are in the middle of our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of April. We can really use your support as we head into this break. I encourage you, if you don't get us on your local station for the full hour, we're broadcasting continual. You know, you need to subscribe to us, honestly, on YouTube, on Rumble. Be a part of the ACLJ community. And if you can, not only make that single one-time donation, become an ACLJ champion. We're going to be joined later on in the broadcast by Rick Grinnell. And then we're also going to break down President Trump's statement, making his policy on life up front. Give us a call, too, if you want to be on the air. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are talking about this situation in Ohio, Logan, where the Biden team has failed to look at the convention schedule that they have, the second convention, because the president always gets, and his party gets, the final convention. So Republicans have their convention in July. Democrats have their convention in August, but they missed a key August date for a very important state of Ohio. So now they're having to scramble to see if they can have a nominating convention before their actual national convention, which would be a very different looking convention once we got there in August. But the mistake they made was they don't even schedule their convention to start until August 17th. And they had to have that deadline set. They were supposed to meet a deadline by August 7th.
Let's go ahead and call about it. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in Wyoming. Bill's watching on ACLJ.org, which we appreciate. Bill, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Here's a thought. The DNC can just go ahead and advertise, hey, would you kindly go ahead and put Joe Biden as a write-in candidate and vote for him that way? But then, of course, the Republicans can counter in with it and say, hey, this is how prepared the Democrats have been this past 4 years.
I think, Bill, that's part of it. Is really, it's not necessarily that this was going to keep Joe Biden from figuring out a way to get on the ballot in November in Ohio. What this does show is where they've been focusing, and they've been focusing on the wrong things. As we've done our work to make sure President Trump is kept on the ballot for real reasons, the fact that they were filing to get him knocked off the ballot, that the Biden campaign wasn't even paying attention close enough to probably a top 10 state of where they could be on the ballot. Obviously, Ohio, known to be one of the biggest swing states, weren't paying attention. Right. And hopefully this shows the American people a little bit that just their eye is off the ball.
Yeah, and I think it does. I mean, I think it shows you've got a Biden team. Like, what are you doing? These stories should exist, Logan. All you got to do.
And they're saying, we're confident we're going to get on the ballot.
All you got to do is file paperwork and pay a fee. And this administration and this team from Biden, they have it. They have the money to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. There are other calls coming in. We'll take those coming up here in the next few segments. So if you want to be heard, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Next segment, we'll be joined by Rick Grinnell. We're going to wrap up this broadcast and talk about President Trump's, actually hear from President Trump in a video statement he made about his position on life and abortion. So that's going to be a pretty interesting comment. If you want to stay tuned for that, you should. Jordan's putting on his eclipse glasses right now, so I was distracted. That's why I fumbled my words there.
I'm concerned.
Talking about some pretty important issues.
Joe Biden could be anywhere in here, and I don't want to make direct eye contact.
Yeah, exactly. They only work, those eclipse glasses, when you're looking at the sun. So that's the whole point. There's no sunlight in here, Jordan. So it's not going to continue. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Again, we're having some fun here today, but we are going to break down that in the last segment. Very serious topic, obviously. And during our Life and Liberty drive, we really want you to be a part of this with us. We are. Maybe we can get an updated number. I'll take a look at that updated number when we're in the break of how many we away from 21,000 ACLJ champions. What an ACLJ champion is, you've heard me say it, that is someone who's saying, I'm going to give on a monthly, recurring, automatic basis. Obviously, you can cancel anytime, like any other subscription or membership or donation. But we really would encourage you to do that, because what that does, look, the ACLJ is supported on individual donations, which is great. Those are people that are saying, hey, I can give $10 here, $50 there, $100, $1,000. Awesome. But what we are trying to do right now is kind of reshape that and form a baseline. So we always know or have a good idea of what we're going to at least be starting with. So we know where we can invest, whether that's in the media or whether that's in the law, whether that's supporting legislation around the world, or whether that is producing more content for you like this one right here. So I encourage you right now to do that. Not only become an ACLJ supporter, help us hit that goal of 21,000 ACLJ champions. And hey, if we do that, here's a promise. I'll at least give it a little bit of a break. You won't hear from me saying that each and every moment of each and every break. You won't hear it each pitch. So you know what? Help us get to that 21,000 number. Again, we're only 79 away. That means a handful of you have joined during the broadcast, which is amazing. We started at 83 before the show. So we are working our way there, 79 away from 21,000 ACLJ champions. Rick Grinnell joins us in the next segment.
Mr. Secular, remember yesterday where we said Iran was planning a response to retaliate against Israel for the attack on their consulate in Syria? Some Israeli consulates and embassies around the world even closed and evacuated their staff. Now, Iran is putting a new message out, and I want to go to Rick Rennell back on this, former ambassador to Germany, director of national intelligence, a member of the ACLJ team. And Rick, this is my first question to you. Iran is now saying for a ceasefire, we'll call off any kind of attacks in response to what happened to our IRGC leaders. One, would you trust them with any kind of offer like this? And two, do you think it's even a legitimate offer? Because we've seen the ceasefires they've wanted, and they've been very different ceasefires than the United States has agreed to, especially at the congressional level or at the Israeli level in their government as well.
Look, you and I have talked about this before. The first step is to get the hostages back. Talking about a ceasefire without the return of all the hostages, including American hostages, by the way, I think is a waste of time. So what is Iran saying? We want a ceasefire and we want to keep the hostages. We want to use them for negotiations later. No, the first and only conversation is, when and where are you returning the hostages? All of the other conversations about rebuilding and leadership in the Palestinian territories and who should be a part of it, all of those conversations are after you get the hostages returned home safely.
I mean, to me, Rick, I would negotiate with Iran until those hostages were released, because we know Iran has the leverage over Hamas to say, send these people home. And guess what's going to happen? A lot less civilian loss, a lot less attacks. And maybe we get to see rise up amongst this group in the Gaza Strip to say, you know what? It's not worth going through this every 5 years to have our entire cities destroyed, our families disrupted. We need to do something different when it comes to Israel.
Yeah, look, there's no question. The focus has to be on the return of the hostages. The focus has to be on bankrupting the Iranian regime. We cannot have them get the money any longer. They're getting billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars in sanctions relief, credit, and cash from the Joe Biden team. And so what the Biden team has to understand is, when you fund a radical regime like this, you're going to get terrorism. You have to stop funding Iran. You've got to squeeze them out. You've got to go back to the maximum pressure sanctions campaign that was working under Donald Trump. And you have to demand that the hostages, after what, 185 days, 184 days that we've now seen them held against their will, you have to demand that the hostages be released. That's what Israel is doing right now, Jordan. They are trying to find the hostages. They're having to go hunt for them, because Hamas is hiding them.
Rick, you brought up the fact that the Biden administration essentially has been funding, you know, Iran since the very beginning of this. So I guess you start throwing one kind of point blame, but was it actually the administration, do you think, that put Iran in this driver's seat in sort of the Middle East conflict?
I do. I think we've got to just be really honest about this. They have funded this war. The Biden team strategically decided that the Iranian regime could be trusted to get hundreds of billions of dollars. And look, it's no shock to the West or anybody in America. The Biden team has tried to bring the Iranian regime into the fold of international community for a while. They have believed that somehow the Iranian regime in Tehran could be talked out of a nuclear weapon, could be talked out of their human rights abuses. And they have engaged with Iran. And remember, John Kerry and others were traveling the world undermining the policy that Donald Trump had of pressuring the Iranian regime with worldwide global sanctions. And they were secretly trying to talk to the Iranians about doing something else. And so we've seen this playbook, and we've got to just stay focused on, when you give the Iranian regime money, you should expect terrorism quickly thereafter.
You know, Rick, I wanted to bring up some politics, too, because I know you work in the campaign world, and in Ohio specifically, this has come to light, that the Democrat Party and the Biden campaign missed a key deadline when they were scheduling at the Democrat National Convention, which doesn't begin until, I think, the 19th of August. And there's a problem in Ohio because you're supposed to be having your nominating party for who is going to be your presidential candidate by August 7th. And now they're trying to figure out how they're going to comply with this. I mean, to me, it's like they were spending all of their prime time to kick President Trump off the ballot. They wanted to take him off the ballot in Colorado. They made us take him all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. We were fighting out in 14 states. But what they forgot to do was look at their own laws and rules. We don't know yet what will happen in Ohio and if the laws will be changed. But, I mean, it's pretty embarrassing for an incumbency president and their campaign to miss dates like this to be on a ballot in such an important state.
Yeah, look, you hit it on the head. They were concentrating on everything but their own campaign and trying to figure out the process in Ohio. Remember, they have manipulated the primary schedule. They abandoned Iowa and they went with a whole new schedule. So this is the first time that the Democratic National Committee is trying to figure out a new strategy. And I think that they've misstepped. They certainly have a problem in Ohio. I spoke to a former county chair in Ohio, a very large county with a lot of influence. And this individual told me that it's a real problem. The Democrats in Ohio really miscalculated and they have a problem. Now, look, I think that Joe Biden should be on the ballot in Ohio. Put him on the ballot. We shouldn't have a system where you're kicking people off the ballot. The Democrats are doing that to Trump. It's wrong. And we certainly shouldn't try to do that with Biden. They messed up. Let's fix it and get him on the ballot in Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, let's get him on the ballot. Let's beat him. I mean, I think that's the case, is that, you know, we know that in Ohio we can beat Joe Biden. I just think it's interesting to point out they're so focused, Rick, on trying to remove President Trump and trying to put blocks in the way for President Trump to get on the ballot, for people to even be able to vote for him in the primary or in the general election, that they totally missed key dates while they were putting together their own convention as an incumbent president, which is actually the easiest because you aren't even fighting out through a primary battle, and they still missed what was going on in Ohio. And now they're going to be at the will of the Ohio legislature, which is controlled by Republicans, who I think will ultimately let them vote, Rick. But at the same time, it just shows to go where they have been spending their time. And it's been on trying to remove the American people's ability to vote for President Trump, forgetting the fact that they better make sure the American people even have a chance to vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah, perfectly said. I mean, they've spent their time and their money on trying to get Trump off the ballot, and they forgot to get themselves on the ballot. And so we need a Democratic Party that wants to campaign and fight fairly, not try to, you know, add Supreme Court justices when they lose at the Supreme Court, add states, add new voters through illegal means, through the open border, or kicking people off ballots. It's just not that undermines democracy like never before.
You know, Rick, do you think that they would do it for us? Just a quick question. I mean, like, if we were in this situation, we made this mistake, do you think the Democrats would even help us?
No, not only would they not help us, there would be 25 thought pieces from the New York Times and others saying just how right it was to kick them off because, you know, you got to teach them a lesson for lack of planning. And they would just go with it, and it would somehow support democracy. They're living in hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick, thank you so much for joining us. We are going to, in the next segment, also play a clip and break down President Trump's statement on life, which is going to be a really interesting discussion. If you have a question about that, look, it's debated right now. There's a lot of people on the, I'd say, the hardest right side of the life issue, or maybe on the most conservative side of the life issue, who maybe don't feel it's enough. Obviously, you have the left who feels like it's, you know, way too far. We'd love to hear from you. If you haven't heard it, though, we are going to play a big chunk of it in the next segment. So stay tuned for that. You can give us a call about it. We'll take as many calls as we can. 1-800-684-3110. You could also call in about the issue going on in Ohio or any of the Israel, any of the topics that we've discussed today. Or if you got another topic, maybe we'll get to that
solar
as well.
Eclipse.
You can talk about the eclipse. That's
Are
coming.
You in the line of the, What do they call it?
Some of you listening later, maybe listening to this during the eclipse. How cool is that? So 1-800-684-30.
What's the line called? Like the full total, the line of totality.
Line of totality, which we were in a few years ago. We're only about an hour and a half away from that. I thought about going, but you know, we had stuff we got to do here, so we got to hold down the fort. But you're right. That is an important topic, actually. I think a lot of people are excited about it. Sometimes there are some stories that, you know what, just are universally people are excited about it. Hundreds of thousands of people are flocking to these towns. But we're going to be discussing that and more coming up. Support the work of the ACLJ, as I said, at aclj.org during this Life and Liberty Drive. Just do it. It's really great. Make you feel good. Go to aclj.org. Be a part of it. All donations are matched right now.
It's a great time to become an ACLJ champion, too. We are getting close to that 21,000.
Yeah.
Just a few away. So, again, if you can make that monthly donation, do it today. ACLJ.org. Be at the tip of the spear of these battles. Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. Let me take some of those calls as well. We also have President Trump put out a statement on abortion.
Yeah, let's kick off with the words of President Trump himself. So if you're watching this right now, here is President Trump. He put this, I think this morning, came out with his stance.
Campaign. This
Yeah, because he had been kind of, you know, asked the question a few times, and it had kind of gone back and forth as how they were going to officially, you know, on the in the campaign. Say it, you know, now that they know, because obviously the last time was a pre-Dobbs world, so it's a little bit different. So let's take a listen to President Trump, and we'll break it down when we get back. Take a look.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF, in every state in America. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently and very sadly a nation in decline.
So, I mean, Logan, I thought one of the key lines there, which I liked a lot, was the execution after birth. So talking about that post-birth abortion, which we have been talking about for years because of the Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, who no longer the Virginia governor, but when he was, he talked about how even if a baby was born and they were thinking about whether or not they should have an abortion, they would keep it comfortable until they decide.
That was a statement.
And until they decide whether or not to take its life. So, I mean, literally, as President Trump said, he called that execution after birth, which we know is not, it's not just something we make up in the pro-life community.
They'll claim you do. They'll claim that this is a
fiction. But go to Ralph Northam. Right. Go to pro-abortion Democrat elected leaders in the state of Virginia. He was the governor, and he said it, and he was a pediatric neurosurgeon. So he was speaking directly to
things
he has seen with authority. But what President Trump also said, Logan, is this. I told you, I'm proud that we got Roe versus Wade overturned. Now the battle, and we've said this so many times on this show. Our goal at the ACLJ, and we didn't know when we'd ever get to this goal, but now we're there, was to get this battle out of Washington, D.C., and return it to the states.
Yep.
Return it to the kitchen tables. Return it to your local churches and communities. So then you can decide what kind of restrictions you're comfortable with. So you can educate people on it. Because for so long, Logan, I mean, it was... This violates Roe versus Wade, so nothing you can't have this law.
So it didn't matter what it was. I'll briefly break this down for you. These sort of the highlights of it. Look, we're not saying we endorse this or don't. So this is just what President Trump's platform is. So he said it should be decided by the states. It should be the law of the state, and that abortion will look different everywhere. He did not endorse a national ban. Did not say whether there was a number of weeks for a federal cutoff. Previously supported a federal 15-week ban. Supports the three big exceptions. And obviously where the life of the mother is in jeopardy. Supports protections for IVF. And he was boasted that he was proudly the person responsible for the overturning of Roe versus Wade. So that's where we are right now. Let's go ahead, take a few phone calls before we wrap up. Let's go to D, who's calling in California. It'll move back from other topics. D, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a statement that when I was in high school, I did a speech on capital punishment versus abortion versus capital punishment.
Yep.
The interesting thing I found in my research was people that are in most cases that are pro-abortion are against capital punishment. My closing statement for my classmates was this. Here's this unborn child, fetus, call it what you will, it's life. You want to snuff his or her life out before he or she has a chance to be right or wrong. On the other hand, you want to keep this person alive that may never be rehabilitated. Why? And furthermore, they use the term pro-choice. There is no pro-choice. You're either pro-abortion or pro-life.
All right. Well, thank you, Dee, for your comment.
Yeah, and I do think there's a lot of interplay between, how can you oppose the death penalty for convicted, murderers? And not to say, again, that we did have some problems with some cases.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where there were some DNA issues.
But I think it's okay if you go one way or the other.
A lot of those have been handled.
Yeah.
But it's tough to say, I support that, but I don't support that. But I do think that these children should be, executed, basically, as President Trump used the term.
Yeah, let's go quickly to Joanne, who's calling on Ohio on line 2. Joanne, you're on the air. Annabelle, we're probably not going to be able to get to you today. I apologize. But Joanne, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Two real quick points on both subjects you talked about. You know, this thing with equating taking Trump off the ballot and this thing in Ohio here, they deliberately tried to take Donald Trump off the ballot. You know, this is the DNC messing up. You know, they're two completely different things as far as I'm concerned, and I live in Ohio.
Yeah, it's not even Ohio. It's not Ohio taking him off the ballot. This was the DNC and the Biden administration or the Biden campaign not focusing on the rules,
right?
And a misstep, a mistake, a big one potentially. Now, again, do we think they're going to fix it? Yeah. Do people like Rick Grenell on here say, yeah, we should, because it's the right thing to do, even if you don't agree with it?
Right. We're
it's still the right thing to do.
I've tried to take away your right to vote for
impeach a president over nothing.
Your choice, right? We're not going to impeach presidents over nothing. Look, at the ultimate, it's very embarrassing for President Biden because his team has spent so much time on trying to disqualify President Trump from the ballot that they didn't even realize they were disqualifying themselves from the ballot by unintentionally setting up a convention post dates for when they needed to be nominated to be on the ballot in one of the most important states in the country when it comes to the presidential election, the state of Ohio, which is leading red, but still has an elected statewide U.S. Democrat senator. Well, so you don't want to give that state away.
Even the most red states, you could say Tennessee and Alabama.
You're still getting votes.
There's still 40% a lot of the times are going to the Democrats.
Well,
so
that means you're getting House Democrats elected. You might get a senator
elected. You don't
want
to be off the ballot because that's real bad.
You don't want to go into the Congress and have no allies.
Absolutely. Hey, this is our last pitch for the day. I'm going to encourage you. Go to ACLJ before the solar eclipse.
Will we be back tomorrow? Yeah. We don't know. Maybe we'll all be taken up.
You know, the worst things can happen. I mean, that sounds pretty good. Go to ACE. But look, in the meantime, though, we could use your support. Go to ACLJ.org. Halfway through or so of our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of April already. I can't believe we're already, week over week into April. And we can't do that work, whether that is from the smallest of smallest cases to the biggest of big around the world. You can't do that without your supports. Go to ACLJ.org and become a champion today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.